All right. Are you ready to hear from God's word this morning?
Yes.
Or maybe I should ask, are you eager to hear from God's word this morning?
Yes.
I hope that you can say yes to that. You know, so many times we are eager about things in our lives, aren't we? I mean, you go and spend, I don't know what it costs to go to a movie anymore. We don't really go. But when you go to a movie, are you eager to see the movie?
Yes.
Well, yeah, or you wouldn't go. You go to a ball game or a basketball or football or whatever. Are you eager to see that game and to see what happens? Well, here's the thing. You go to see a movie and it ends, right?
Yep.
How long do you really think about that movie, or does it have an impact on you? Or you go see a ball game. How long does that really impact your life? Not very. But when we come and hear God's word, what kind of an impact can that have on our lives?
Eternal.
An eternal impact. So I hope as we come into God's house that we have an eagerness to hear from God's word and to know that this is the truth of God, the one that created us, the message he has for us. And I hope we have eager hearts to hear it. If you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, we're going to be in, once again, we have been, I know, for the last several Sundays in Luke, and guess what? We're still in Luke. There's just so much in Luke, well, in all God's word. But we're in Luke chapter 22 once more. Luke chapter 22 is where we're going to be today. Luke chapter 22, and to start, we're going to read the first six verses. And I'm going to ask, once you've found that, if you're able, I'm going to ask if you'd stand as we read God's word together. Luke chapter 22, beginning in the first verse. And this is what God's word shares with us today. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, named Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Let's pray together. Lord God, once again, we come to you on this day. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the message that you have for each one of us. Remind us that it is a message for us, not for our neighbor, not for our spouse, not for the person behind us or in front of us, but for each one of us. So help us to have ears that are open, hearts that are open, and minds that are open to your word. Lord, if there are areas where we're challenged and we need to change, help us to change. If there are areas that we need to repent of, help us to repent. But Lord, I just pray that your word would accomplish in our lives what you want it to. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Now, I know as we're looking here in Luke chapter 22, we're kind of backtracking. Because last week was Easter, and we talked about many of the things that Jesus faced as it led up to Easter. And then last week, obviously, we talked about the Easter story, Christ's death, his resurrection, what that means for us. But we're backing up a little bit. Because there's, I guess, something here that I want us to look at this morning that God has really laid on my heart. Because this is primarily about one by the name of who?
Judas.
So we're backing up to see how really the beginning of the Easter story as we know it, how some of that began to be. And what we see in these verses is all kinds of plans are being put into place. We should be able to relate to that because we as people are planners, aren't we?
Yep.
Don't we plan a lot of things?
Yep.
I mean, I think you probably do. Have you planned what you're going to do for lunch today? Some of you maybe, some of you not. Have you planned what you're going to do this week? Some of it gets planned for you. You're going to get up and go to work, right? That's part of your plan. Before that, you're going to eat breakfast or get yourself ready. That's part of your plan for the day. We plan vacations, we plan trips, we plan entertainment things. We plan all kinds of things. As we look here, there's several plans I want us to think about. First of all, we have God's all-encompassing, overreaching plan, right?
Yep.
God plans on a level that we cannot comprehend, period. It's as simple as that. Because God's plans, when did they start? When did God's plans start? In the beginning, well, he planned in the beginning, though, right?
True.
I don't know when God's plan starts. He always has been. And again, our little minds, yeah, I called you small-minded, didn't I? Because so am I. Our minds can't really wrap around the concept of always has been. But God always has been. And guess what that means for God's plans? God's plans always have been. Back when God was creating everything that we see and know, did he also know how his plan was going to unfold? Yes, because God just doesn't see the past and the present. What also does God see? The future. And again, our small minds can't comprehend that. Did God know that you would be sitting here in Arthur, Ohio on April 7th, 2024? Yes. Did you know that 5 years ago?
No.
Or 10 years ago? No, God has always known it. So this is God's overreaching plan. Had it all planned out from the beginning to the end. And here's the other difference with God's plans. God's plans, finish this sentence. God's plans are blank. How would you finish that sentence? Good. Perfect. Anything else? Always true. Is that different than our plans? Are your plans always perfect? Yeah, I know lots of times I've planned something and thought I had it planned down to the finest detail of how I was going to do something, and it started, and guess what happened to that plan? It all fell apart. Can you relate? Okay, so as we look at this account, God's overarching plan is coming to pass, right? He knew that mankind would fall way back in the garden. He knew the whole Old Testament sacrifices for sins involving animals wouldn't work in the end. He knew that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to spend time on this earth. He knew his son needed to die. His blood needed to be shed for us. That's God's overreaching plan. That is unfolding here. But we have other plans that are coming into place. Who else is making plans here? Look in verse 2. The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. They wanted to kill Jesus at this point. That was kind of the root of their plan. That was the objective. That was the goal that they wanted to see come to pass. But they had to be careful how they planned that out. Could they just grab Jesus and kill him at this point? No, because they were afraid of the people. They were afraid there'd be rioting and all kinds of things because Jesus had a lot of followers. So the scribes and the chief priests, they were planning and plotting, and we have another word we use for their planning and plotting, scheming. They were scheming and trying to put all these plans into place of how they could kill Jesus in the end. So that's another planning that was taking place. But there's someone else in this story that was doing some planning that I really want us to think about this morning. Who was the other one that was doing some planning and plotting, and we will call it scheming? And I'm not talking about Judas. We can talk about him later. Satan. Does Satan plan? Absolutely. Here's the thing. Satan's plans, however, are closer to ours than they are to God's. Do we understand that? No one can plan like God can. No one else is omniscient. That means knows everything. Nobody else knows how everything is going to fall into place but God. Does Satan know everything? No. Can Satan be everywhere at the same time like God can? No. Satan is just a creation of God, one that rebelled against God. But he plans and he schemes, but his plans aren't perfect like God's. But Satan here was also planning and scheming. And look how his plan kind of came to fruition. And think about Satan. What was his plan at this point in time? What was his plan? Yeah, same as the scribes and Pharisees, right? The chief priests. Kill Jesus. Again, Satan isn't perfect. He thought, kill Jesus, and guess what? I'll win. That was his thinking. That was his planning. Was that accurate? No. So again, Satan's plans aren't perfect like God's. But if you look in verse 3, it's an interesting verse. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. What do you think about that verse? Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Dave?
No matter how close you walk with Jesus,
No matter how close you walk with Jesus, Satan's always available to you. That's a good way to put it. You know, you read this verse, you think that's kind of an odd way to put it, that Satan entered into him. But I hope we understand, it's not like Judas had no choice here. It's not like, you know, some people have asked me and thought about this verse, do I have to be worried about that? Because Satan just enter into me and all of a sudden I'm doing bad things. Is that the way it works? What's that, dear? We have to allow him in. That's the thing about Satan. He has a desire and he has a plan, but do his plans have to come to pass? No. We have a choice in the matter. The thing with Judas is he made a choice to allow Satan to enter into him. It's not like Judas was just a wonderful man following Jesus with all of his heart, and then all of a sudden, boom, Satan entered in. That was not the case. If you look back in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 6. Let's turn there. I wasn't going to. It's not going to be up here because I didn't tell him, but you can find it if you want. John chapter 12, verse 6. Well, look at 5 and 6. Judas said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So this was a situation where Jesus had his feet anointed, and his feet were being anointed with spikenard ointment, which was very valuable. It was very costly. And Judas was upset about this. Why is Jesus allowing his feet to be anointed with this costly oil? And in verse 5, he says, why wasn't this sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Well, that sounds like Judas has an understanding heart, right? He wanted the money to be sold and to be given to the poor, right? It sounds good. But then if you look in verse 6, we find what Judas's heart really was. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he held the bag and bore what was put therein. Verse 6 gives us a glimpse into the heart of Judas. Was this a heart that was fully set on following Jesus Christ and his teachings? No. He wasn't concerned because the money wasn't being given to the poor. He was being concerned because the money wasn't being put in the money bag, which guess who happened to hold the money bag? Judas. So Judas's heart maybe lacks some sincerity in his following of Jesus Christ. Judas had some sin that was in his life that was present there. Judas had some areas of his life that were not lining up with what Jesus Christ had been teaching as he followed it, as he followed him. Guess what? That's what Satan likes to see. There's what we need to understand. Satan likes to see wherever there's that little weakness that we have in our lives. And don't get me wrong, do we all have weaknesses in our lives? Now, your weakness may be different than my weakness, and my weakness may be different than your weakness, but one thing that we all have in common is we all have weaknesses. Those little chinks in our foundation, those little cracks, and what happens with even a small crack? We can see it in concrete or on roads around here in the winter. What happens? Well, around here, water gets in and the cold weather comes and it freezes. And what does that water do? It expands. And what happens to that tiny little crack? It's a little bigger. And then more of that water comes in and it freezes again and it gets a little bigger. And it grows and it grows and it grows until that tiny small fracture that was there at the beginning is now a gaping wide pothole in the middle of the road. Our lives spiritually really aren't much different. We have these weaknesses, these flaws that each one of us have, and if we allow him to, Satan will take advantage of that just like he did with Judas. Judas had that, and he left that flaw there, he left that crack there, and Satan entered into it. Judas allowed that to happen. And before we know it, we see Satan's plans unfold. And it says that he entered into Judas in verse 3 of Luke, back in Luke 22. And Judas went his way in verse 4, and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad. What started out as a small crack in Judas's foundation was now a gaping hole, folks, that would lead to his betrayal of Jesus Christ. And it's easy to look at Judas and to say, wow, how can that happen? To the point where Satan wants to enter and is allowed to enter into him. But you know what? It wasn't and it isn't just Judas that Satan wants to enter into. Do you know who else he wants to enter into? All of us, folks. I know that's not a cheery thing to think about, but that is reality and something that we need to be aware of. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, does anyone know what that verse says? Let me read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober and be vigilant. What does that mean? What does it mean to be sober and vigilant? Beware. Be on your toes. You've heard that description before, right? Be on your toes. Wake up. Because your adversary, right there, we need to understand that. We have an adversary. What is an adversary? An enemy. I know sometimes we like to go through life thinking, I don't have any enemies in life. I get along with everybody. Folks, if you're a believer, you can't say, I don't have any enemies. You have an enemy. He is named here. It is Satan. Your adversary, the devil, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion walks about, seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say what he may devour. It says whom he may devour. That means he wants to devour people. He wants to devour us. And we're not talking a physical devouring. He wants to devour our lives. And if you look at Judas, and you look at the path that he followed, as Satan entered into Judas, he was beginning to devour his life, wasn't he? To the point where Judas betrayed Jesus, and we're not going to read, but you know how the story ends with Judas, right? What happens in the end? He takes his own life. He kills himself. That is a life that was devoured by Satan. Do we understand that? That is Satan's objective. The Bible says his objective is to steal, kill, and destroy. And here it says to devour. He wants to destroy our lives. He wants to destroy our families. That is his goal. Is he good at it? Everybody go like this. Yeah, he's good at it. But does that mean he has to win? No. We're back in Luke chapter 22. I want you to look down a few more verses, down into verse 31. 31 through 34 of Luke chapter 22. I want us to look at this account. And the Lord said, he's talking to Simon Peter here, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. So here's the thing. Satan wanted Judas, didn't he? Did he get him?
Yes.
Yeah. But he didn't just want Judas. Who else is Jesus saying that Satan wanted? He wanted Peter too. And if he wanted Peter too, guess who else he probably wanted? All the rest of the disciples. And if he wanted all the rest of the disciples, who else did he probably want? You and me. Again, that is Satan's desire. That's his planning and scheming. And Jesus said to Peter, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Satan wants to enter into you. He wants to take over your life that he may sift you as wheat. And I want you to think about that little phrase there, sift you as wheat. What is it when you, and it doesn't necessarily have to be wheat, I want us to think about the sifting process. What happens when you sift something? You ever sifted anything?
No.
Okay, what do you do when you sift something? You just dump it there and it takes care of itself? What do you do when you sift? You're separating something. What else often happens is you sift something? Do you go like this to sift it? You're kind of shaking it around, moving it back and forth, shaking it up a little bit, and whatever you're sifting falls out of whatever you're sifting it from, right? That's sifting. Sifting involves being shaken up a little bit. And he says Satan wants to sift you as wheat. Folks, the same is true for you and I as it was for Peter. Satan wants to sift us. So what is he going to do to accomplish that? Is he going to shake us up? Do you ever feel like you're being shaken up in life? You ever shook to the core by what's going on around you? Look, Satan has a desire to sift us. He will shake us up. Things in life will come our way that shake us to the core, that it's just, we can get disoriented. We can get turned around. It can be difficult. Satan will sift. He says, Satan has a desire to sift you as wheat. But look in verse 32 what Jesus said. But I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. Isn't it good to know we got somebody praying for us? Does Jesus care about us?
Yes.
Do you think he's talking to his Father about us when we follow him?
Yep.
Yeah. We're not in this alone. Satan had a desire to have Judas. Judas allowed him in and Satan devoured his life. Satan had a desire to have Peter. Look what Jesus went on to say. And when you are converted or when you have returned, strengthen your brethren. Here's the thing. Was Peter going to fail?
Yes.
Did Peter have a crack in his foundation?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, people that I've talked to that do cement work, you know what most of them have told me? The only thing they can guarantee? How do you finish that? Eventually? It'll crack. Folks, our spiritual eyes are the same way. We will develop cracks as we go through life on this earth. We have weaknesses and we have flaws. Judas had one. Satan entered in. He devoured his life. Peter had one. Did Satan take advantage of it? Yeah. Jesus told him. Well, look in verse 33. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death. What was Peter saying there? It ain't going to happen. Satan may want to sift me, but it isn't going to work. Did it work? Yeah. Peter failed. Satan had a small victory in Peter's life because Peter denied Jesus Christ. He denied knowing him once. Twice?
No.
Three times. He denied his relationship with Jesus. Satan saw that crack in Satan. Yeah, Satan began to work. But here's the thing. Did Satan achieve his goal in the end for Peter's life?
No.
Why not? What was the difference between Judas and Peter? That one's life ended up being devoured, and the other's life ended up following his Savior and converting thousands to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What was the difference between the two?
Faith.
Jesus said, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, or many versions say, and when you have returned, Jesus knew that he was going to deny him. He knew he was going to fail coming up. Jesus knew that. But he said, and when you've returned or when you've converted, here's the thing. Peter's faith was in his Savior, but Peter also understood the forgiveness that Jesus Christ had taught about. So after Peter failed, after he denied Christ, what did he do? He knew that he could be forgiven for that. And he came back and he followed Jesus and did amazing things in the name of his Lord. I don't think Judas fully understood the forgiveness that Jesus taught about all those years. Did Judas have sorrow in his heart over what he had done? Or regret? Did he have regret?
Yeah.
That's why he took his life. He had regret for what he had done. What didn't he understand? Forgiveness. I believe with all my heart, if Judas afterwards had that regret in his heart and had said, I want to be forgiven for what I have done, and had a true repentance in his heart, do you think he would have been forgiven?
Yes.
Yeah. What had Jesus taught over and over again? He told them, don't forgive each other once or twice or three times. How many times did he tell them to forgive each other? What's that? 70 times 7. What he was saying is, you need to forgive each other over and over again. You need to forgive each other the way I forgive you, which is over and over and over again. Here's the thing, folks. I don't think Judas ever really truly understood that. So he never sought that forgiveness, and Satan won in the end. Satan does not have to win. But when we see him get a foothold, and when we make mistakes, and when we fail, and when we sin, just like Peter did, we need to be willing and ready to get down on our knees and simply say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my mistake. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for choosing wrong. And help me to do better. When we do that, what happens to Satan's plan? Satan's plan goes out the window. He doesn't win. That, folks, I believe with all my heart, is the difference between Judas and Peter. One understood the forgiveness that Jesus Christ was really offering, and the other didn't. So here's the question. Do we understand the forgiveness that Jesus offers to us? Do we take advantage of that? When we sin, do we beat ourselves up over and over, or do we simply take it to the Lord and say, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And help me to do better. And that is the message we need to take to the world, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, if you don't know, that is the message we need to take to the world.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times I've talked with people, and when you share Jesus Christ with them, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I don't know, I have done so much wrong in my life. I don't think I can come back to the Lord. That's a Judas mindset, isn't it? I've done too much, I've been too wrong, I've had so much sin that I am hopeless. Is that the case?
No.
No. Jesus is ready to forgive. He desires to forgive us. When we come to Him and ask for it, He'll grant it if we do it with a sincere heart. Folks, I look at this account, I look at the life of Judas, I look at the life of Peter. One is devoured and the other overcomes. But he overcame because of Jesus Christ. He overcame because of that forgiveness that Jesus offered. Folks, I pray that we understand that in our hearts and lives, and that we share that message with the world. Is Satan going to try to sift you like wheat? Try to shake your faith? Try to shake you up? Try to get you to trip and stumble? And here's the thing. When you trip and stumble, that's when you have another choice to make. That's when you make the choice. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to take it to the Lord and seek forgiveness and get right back up and keep going? Or are you going to allow Satan to just keep beating you over the head with it? I think Satan just kept beating up Judas over the head with it over and 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 over again. When that happens, things can seem hopeless. But folks, when we serve Jesus Christ, is there really any such situation as hopeless?
No.
Isn't that a good thing to know?
Yeah.
Satan will try to sift us as wheat. But Jesus is saying, I have prayed for you, that our faith doesn't fail. When we return, strengthen your brethren. When we come back to Him after we fail, work to strengthen other people. Let that sin that was present in your life motivate you to help others not to fall into that same thing. It can help not just you, but somebody else. Because here's the thing. When we sin, what is the biggest thing we often want to do? Keep it secret. We don't want other people to know we've sinned, do we?
No.
Do we? You know, there is a verse that says, confess your faults one to another. You know that, right? Right? So we're going to start this morning. We'll start in the back row and go to the front. And we'll take turns, everybody confessing their sins out loud to the rest of the church. What do you think of that? Anybody eager to start? We're not going to do that. And if we did, we'd have to start up here. We're not going to do that. But there is wisdom in that. Because I need to realize the things that I struggle with, I'm guessing that there are multiple others of you out there that struggle with the same things I do. And we all like to put on this presentation, this shell that makes other people think that we've got it all figured out and we don't sin. That we've got it so figured out that we're somehow living a perfect life. That's the impression we try to put out, I think, most of the time. When in reality, that's not true, is it? I think if we get to the point where we're more honest with each other and say, hey, this is something I've been struggling with and I have failed at and I've asked for forgiveness. Are you struggling with this? Can I pray for you about that? And guess what? When that honesty starts to spread and we're praying for each other for those things, we're all strengthened. And that's why Jesus told Peter, when you've returned, strengthen your brethren. Take that crack that you had in your armor that I've fixed and help it fix others. Talk, share, pray with each other. Folks, I believe in the world that we live in right now, Satan is making an awful lot of plans. And to be honest, I think he's having a heyday right now in the nation that we live in. He'll try to get you and I. Don't let him. Understand that when you do fail, just ask for forgiveness sincerely. Take it to the Lord. Get up and move on. But then make sure you're praying for others, talking with others, sharing with others about that forgiveness that Jesus offers. And when we start to do that, and when we continue to do that, guess what? Satan's plans fall apart. And isn't that a good thing to know? Yeah. We should enjoy ruining Satan's plans. You know that? You ever thought about that? That should be our goal. Here's your goal this week. Ruin Satan's plans any way you can. All right? I mean that. Turn to somebody and tell them that. Hey, ruin Satan's plans this week. Tell somebody. All right. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for this day and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of it. I thank you for the power of forgiveness. And Lord, that is something Christ shared about over and over again. Not that we will be faultless, but when we fail, that we can come to you for forgiveness and keep on going on. I pray, Lord, you help us to realize that and understand it and help us to realize that Satan doesn't win the war when we fail. He wins the war when we fail to ask for forgiveness. Help us to recognize the difference between those two things and just help us to continually come to you, to be grateful for the forgiveness that we find in Jesus Christ through his work on the cross. Help us to find hope in that. Help us to share that with those around us. And help us to realize when we seek your forgiveness, that's when we foil the plans of Satan. We won't do it through our perfection because we're not ever going to be there. But we foil his plans every time we return to you and we seek your forgiveness and we seek your will in our lives. Help us to be people that are about that each and every day. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we close this morning, the altar's open. If you have a need, come and pray. It's as simple as that. Becky? You ready to overcome this week?
Yes.
Are you ready to overcome this week?
Yes.
All right, that's a little better. We need to leave ready to overcome the world because we have Jesus in our life. Folks, that makes all the difference. Let's close with prayer. Lord God, thank you again for your word. I pray that it works in our hearts and our lives, that each and every day we would not just experience but remember and know the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers and enables us to have on a daily basis. And we just thank you so very much for that forgiveness because we need it. Help us to share that message with the world around us. And Lord, as we do that, we are going to foil Satan's plans over and over and over again. And we thank you for that. Remind us of that each and every day. Bless each one as they leave this place. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.